Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. Rise up everybody and burn down the system. Fails the exit pool. Wake up the silence.
Chamber Show, of course, a fun podcast. It is now in its 82nd episode, and I'm with my esteemed colleague and co-host, Michael West, who is having quite a week. First of all, happy birthday, Michael. Your birthday was yesterday, but we got to wish it to you on the show. And in addition to that, congratulate you on the new novel, Zeus's Warriors.
Well, thank you. Yes, it's been a long journey, but it's nice to certainly nice to finally have it out there where people can actually finally read it and continue the voyage that began with Poseidon's children and went on with Hades' disciples, and now we're in the next to last chapter in the series, so it's moving right along.
Oh yes, and without giving away any big spoilers, even provocative illustrations are in this one too.
Oh well, you know, it's a Legacy of the Gods novel. You know there have to be provocative illustrations.
Yes, so if you want to find out what it is, you gotta get the book. But we are going to tell you on the show. But it's good. but yeah, tonight, you know, we're going to talk about your new release, and then an event that your next event that you're going to, Imaginarium. We're going to do a preview of Imaginarium, and of course, you will be a major guest at that as well. So
looking forward to this.
Very much a Michael West night.
Well, this is I'm excited about Imaginarium, especially this year because of the fact that this will be the first time that I'll actually have physical copies of the new novel. So this will be the first time you can get it signed by me.
Oh yes, and that is a big plus. And then you're in relief that the ban we put you on after not coming last year has been lifted at the behest of the esteemed Michael Nost. Yes.
Yeah.
Who will also be there, so I guess we'll have him officially welcome you back.
Okay, that'll be
Mr. Whorehound that you are. we have to razz you, of course, about that. But we know that's your big show. That's your big show. But we are glad to have you back at Imaginarium. It's awesome, and especially right with a new brand new release.
Yes, it was nice that I was trying hard to get this done in time for Horror Hound, the last Horror Hound, but hopefully the fans aren't too faithful readers aren't too mad at me, and they'll be able to pick it up here at Imaginarium.
Well, I mean, the thing about you that's fun with this series is, I mean, if anybody looks on your Amazon review counts, I mean, you got. I mean, obviously, I mean, there, you have a ton of readers, and a couple of your books have, you know, are definitely Amazon bestsellers. Definitely, I mean, hit sales charts, and, you know, on the top of the horror category. So, I mean, they're legitimate Amazon bestsellers, and you're known very much for, you know, as a horror author. But this series is very much a bit of a cross genre. I mean, we call it dark fantasy. But, you know, officially, when we mark it, but it's got a blend, and I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about, for readers that may be familiar with your horror stuff, how do you describe this one? Because it definitely has some horror elements and things like that too.
Yeah, it does. Everything I do, whether it's, you know, sci-fi or you know, I always like to say that everything I do starts out to be a love story, and then it just becomes dark and twisted as it goes. These books are no exception to that, in that there are various characters and various relationships going on, and it's this strange otherworldly elements that come in and either hinder or help these characters come together and whether they stay together or they are torn apart, it depends on the, you know, the circumstances around them. But you know what, when I sit down to write something, I never really think about genre. I focus on the characters, and I write about characters that I want to read about. You know, I want to, my casts tend to be, or my books tend to have, you know, ensemble casts, and they tend to be a very diverse group of people. You have all races, sexes, orientations, religions. It's just basically a cross section of, you know, the real world, and that's what I kind of pride myself in, is the fact that I am able to let voices be heard that may not be heard in a lot of fiction that's out there.
Yeah, and you have a very diverse range of creatures too in this series, and but also some crossover too, because I mean there are some things that tie to your Harmony novels as well.
Right. Yeah. It's on Goodreads. I noticed that they have Spook House as book 3 in the Harmony Indiana novels, but also as book 1.5 in the Legacy of the Gods, which is really true.
That's awesome. Book 1.5. That's great.
Yeah. it's true, because the events of Spook House, we have Earl Preston from Poseidon's Children, you know, obviously affected by the events of Poseidon's Children, comes to Harmony, Indiana and Spook House and has an adventure there with Robbie and some of the other people of Harmony, Indiana that, you know, shapes his character going forward, and also lays some of the groundwork for Hades Disciples and the rest of the Legacy of the Gods. You're introduced to a scientist in Spook House that plays a very big role in the Legacy of the Gods series, and the whole building a bridge between worlds that is key to the plot.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, because I mean it's a neat blend. I mean, I can even say, you know, it's got science fiction elements in your Legacy of the Gods series. So with some of the, you know, I'm not going to have any spoilers, but I mean, but there are some touches of that, you know, in there too.
Oh yeah. It's funny, because when I was before I found a home with Seven Star Press for the series, you know, I would shop Poseidon's Children around. And I would shop it to the horror publishers, because, of course, that was what I was known for. And they're like, well, you know, this is good. We like this, but it's too science fiction fantasy. It's not horrific enough. So we should probably shop it with, sci-fi fantasy publishers. So I'm like, okay. So then I shop it with the sci-fi fantasy publishers, and they're like, oh, my God, this is too horrific. We can't put this out. So for a while there, it was it was kind of like, you know, it was the black sheep that nobody, you know, people liked, but nobody wanted to really be associated with, you know.
Yeah.
And then of course the there was the rise of the category of urban fantasy, which you know, is nice because it allows for the blending of genres. You know, you can have an urban fantasy novel or a dark fantasy novel, and you know, pretty much I think at least all the ones I've read, urban fantasy tend to go dark, tend to be grittier than your normal, you know, epic fantasy or high fantasy. And so I like the fact that, you know, you can bring in these sci-fi elements, you can bring in these fan— I mean, I have dragons, I have spider centaurs, I have fish people, I have werewolves, I have, you know, I basically, you name it, from mythology, yetis, and it's in the books. But and then
right.
you also have, you know, aliens, and you have quantum theory going on there about, you know, opening a gateway between two different worlds, and you have
right.
things like that that are going on. So it's really nice to be able to weave all that together into one tapestry, and I've been pleased that, you know, number one, that it works, and number two, that everyone who talks to me about it not only thinks it works as well, but loves the blend. So it's been very rewarding in that respect.
Yeah, and that I love that. And I mean, as an author with a cross-genre kind of series myself, I appreciate what it takes to make so many diverse parts work in a ensemble cast, you know, kind of threaded plot like that. And it's definitely not an easy task as a writer to put, you know, a whole thing like that together. So I have a healthy appreciation for that, what you've created. And it's certainly resonating, because anybody reads the reviews on Poseidon's Children, I mean, and there's a ton of them on Amazon. I mean, it's just a great series with such a neat, unique, diverse, like you said, diverse blend, characters, creatures, etc. And I think that this one, I mean, based on, like I said, the early vibes I'm getting from folks is, you know, I mean, I know it's kind of cliche to say, oh, this is my best work yet, but I think that people really feel very strongly, I mean, from your editor, Amanda DeBoard, on myself and others, I mean, I think that, you know, this is, you know, a tremendous novel, and probably,
well,
you know, you're taking another step forward with this one.
Thank you. It was a hard one for me to write, in the sense that there was a lot of stuff going on in the world, and I, of course, that influenced it quite a bit. And it, you know, it's weird because you're sitting there and you're writing from the point of view of the villain. And one of the things that, you know, I've heard from a lot of people that really love Vivian Song, the main villain in the novels, and one of the things that people love about her, and one of the things that I find myself, you know, thinking when I write her, is that you really see her point of view. I mean, granted, she's going about things the wrong way, but people really understand where she's coming from, and they see what is, you know, inspiring her to be so passionate about what she's doing. And to me, that's the sign of, you know, what I look for in, not just in my characters, but in characters as a whole, you know, whether it be a Die Hard or, you know, a Star Wars or whatnot, where, you know, you don't have just a cardboard villain who's just evil for evil's sake.
Right.
You have depth, you have complexity, you have, you know, the villain is the hero of their story. And
mm-hmm.
if you can't, especially in a third person narrative where you can get inside their heads, if you can't make them seem real, you know, I mean, you may despise them, you may hate them, you may think that they're the most despicable thing that's ever been created on this planet. But if you can't relate to them or see in them something human, something, you know, that relates to you as being real or being something that you can relate to in some way, you know, then it just becomes a cartoon caricature, and I'm not interested in that, and I don't think my readers are interested in that.
Right. No, I agree 100% on that. I mean, yeah, all the characters have to have a fully fleshed out kind of realistic kind of feel to them, and the best villains do have that. And but yeah, I mean the cover. I mean, like I said, Natasha Altarici did a great job at the cover. It's very striking, and I definitely hope people check that out. It's really, really, really amazing, and it's exciting, and the timing couldn't be better. I mean, with like I said, next weekend rolling around, and just a week after your birthday. I mean, this is, yeah, definitely exciting times for Michael West.
Yeah. When Seven Star Press told me, they said, okay, we're shooting for a release date of September 27th. I'm like, oh, well, that's my birthday. That will work out nicely.
Well, we've been waiting for this book release, and we thought, well, it's finally ready, so let's put it out right there, right before Imaginarium, because that's when we're trying to sneak that in, because we knew you were going to come back, and you've been working very hard on this for a while, so it's I wanted a bit of the synergy there to get you some firepower, and that's what we hopefully will see and very confident about.
Yeah, well, and the series, you know, is really, really, I think, coming into its own in that, you know, in the first book, the Poseidon's Children is kind of, I look at it as my Hobbit in a way, in that it's an introduction to this world, but it is kind of a story unto itself. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. But there are enough threads and enough questions left dangling at the end of it that, you know, it's obvious that it's going to continue on.
At the end of the book, you get to see which god is the theme for the next one. It's kind of cool.
Well, but with Hades and Zeus, and then Cronus's return, which will be the final book in this series,
yeah.
it really is an overall arc. You know, a continuous story, and you know, I the second book ended in a cliffhanger, which I had no shortage of emails and messages and whatnot about, in my mind, you know, obviously if you're telling a continuous story arc, you're not just going to wrap things up with a neat little bow at the end of every book,
right? No, it's got to have that kind of a little bit conclusive, but still lead, you know, very strongly in the next one. Yeah, definitely. And
right. I mean,
yeah,
if you look at the books, you know, they do have their own arcs within each book.
Mm-hmm.
It's like each book has it in a way, its quest. It's to tie it back to traditional fantasy in a way. Each book revolves around a certain quest. And usually that quest, whether it be good or the bad of the characters, is resolved by the end of that book. But the overall story, the trying to return the gods to Earth, continues on,
right,
and won't be resolved in any fashion until the next book.
Well, you've got quite an audience building here even tonight, because actually I'm looking in the chat room, and we have the Colonel himself, Eric Jude, got the mighty Frank Hall, who's definitely a man who takes on many tasks. I mentioned him in concert with Tony Acri, because Tony's in there, and of course, you know, got to give a shout out to their wonderful Karen's Book Barn in LaGrange, Kentucky, and of course,
yes,
Kelly was
fearless
leader of Hydra Publications, and we have young Will Hutcherson, who's a brilliant up and coming writer from Kentucky, who's in there, and of course, the ever amazing Holly Phillippe, who I'm a little partial to.
And I'll actually be signing, doing a signing at the Book Barn the last Saturday of October, right before Halloween.
Yep, perfect timing. And that's Yeah, I'm excited to, once I get through Imaginarium and actually get my brain back, I can't wait to go down and just hang out at the Book Barn, and it's going to be awesome. I mean, that's they took it over, and I've been hearing nothing but great things about it in LaGrange, and definitely a wonderful addition to our indie book community here in the region. So, and
yeah.
Of course,
support
you got
your,
that Tony, but Tony
your
too,
indie
because
book
Hydra is one of our sponsors for Imaginarium, and so definitely want to give them a big thanks on that.
Yeah, Hydra is an excellent publisher, and Tony does a great job over there.
Yeah, we have some shared family. Yeah, Brick Marlin, who is, got a horror series with us, has got a new short story collection coming out with Tony's group, and Hydra. So I mean, so we've got some shared family there, and of course Frank is part of the legacy because he was the original founder of Hydra Publications. So yeah, I don't want to use the word incestuous. It's more of a we'll just call it general family kind of thing. It's we're all kind of tied together in this big crazy indie book community in so many different ways. It's crazy. But,
right.
But yeah, Imaginarium, I guess all the aforementioned are going to be there. And so it's going to be year three. And I mean, this year, I mean, like I said, we keep building. And this year, I mean, the early signs are it's going to take another, fairly large step forward. Programming is one of our core things, and we've got, honestly, more programming than you will find at any writing event in this region, period. I mean, it's loaded with panels and workshops on all aspects of writing, all genres, all kinds of things like blogging, marketing, editing, publishing. I mean, just loaded with content that is far more than you'd even find at major writing conferences that charge, hundreds of dollars for their registrations. And so it's something that's been a passion of mine to help create that and found that because, I've always wanted to see, like I said, content like that be accessible to writers that otherwise, couldn't afford to go to those high-priced kind of conferences. And that was very much a core motivation for me in founding it. But alongside that, we want to put it in the right kind of environment. And I know you went to our first year, so you can speak on this, but we've create an environment that's got all kinds of events and activities going on alongside all this programming that creates a certain kind of unique atmosphere that makes it really easy for people to relax, network, learn, have fun, make friends, and even, people end up getting, publishing deals out of this event and things like that. I mean, it's something where, stuff happens out of it. And so, that's one thing I'm really, really proud of. And like I said, if you, read our testimonials, I mean, you'll see reflections of that atmosphere again and again and again in the testimonials. But this year three is going to be a big one for one you particularly are going to be excited about because our guest of honor is none other than a master writer of horror, Brian Keene. And,
oh, yeah.
He's our, yeah.
Yeah, Brian's amazing. He can tell you so much about not only writing, but also the business of writing. He's got a lot of sobering advice to provide to anyone willing to listen. And talking to Brian is always fun, but it's also very worthwhile from a business standpoint if you're interested in getting into the business of being a professional writer.
Right.
There's nobody better to learn from than Brian.
Yeah, he's just amazing. And I met him first years ago at Hypericon, oddly enough, and he's wearing an Iron Maiden t-shirt, and I probably will tell this story at opening ceremonies, but the minute I found him, I was like, okay, first of all, he's a kindred spirit, because, somebody wearing an Iron Maiden shirt, that's my kind of guy to begin with. And, but he was so easy to talk to when I met him at Hypericon, and that always left such a good impression with me, and that reflects the kind of guest that I want to see at Imaginarium, the kind that are approachable. You can talk to them. I mean, they're not, too high in the clouds to talk to you and give their insights and advice. And that's what makes Imaginarium great. And that's reflected too in our Imaginator desks. I mean, we've got Jason Sizemore, who's one of I say one of the best independent publishers in the nation with Apex Book Company, and no question about that. And Elizabeth Beverly, who's a New York Times best-selling romance author and just an absolutely fantastic person. And then Jim C. Hines, who I absolutely think the world of, and he's comes from the fantasy genre, and he's actually got a Hugo Award, and he's absolutely great guest. I mean, so right from the spearhead of our guest list, I mean, it sets the tone for you know, like I said, well over 100 guests, and you just go down the list. I mean, you got Michael Nost, you know, Bram Stoker award-winning author editor. You got, you know, the highly, highly respected and acclaimed Tim Wagner, who's just a brilliant writer and a brilliant instructor. And both of those guys are each giving two workshops this weekend. Any one of their workshops is worth the registration fee, point blank. And each of them are giving two workshops that weekend, and one on Saturday and Sunday for each of them. And, you just keep on going down the list. And, you know, and of course, Tony Hackery, you know, man of many hats that he is our Toastmaster. And, and then we've got, like I said, we've got C.S. Marks, who's a best-selling fantasy author, is even doing a folk concert for us. We've got all kinds of – it's fun how our guests integrate into the show and the whole weekend. And, it's just we're talking all genres. I mean, we've got mystery, romance, right, authors, science fiction, fantasy, horror, poets. I mean, we've got comic creators, game design folks. I mean, we've got filmmakers. I mean, it's just – absolutely, amazing. I mean, like I said, the range. And we've got a guest even this year coming from Trinidad. And so, we're international. We're hitting international pretty well now. And,
internationally known.
yes. And the word is getting out there about what we have to offer. And, we're working hard to build from our foundation and make sure that we build on the strong things and enhance. And, and this year we're going to do some new things. We have the first year that we're going to be awarding our Imagine Awards, which are a new series of literary awards that will join our Film Festival Awards, which have been given the last 2 years. And Friday night, and this is the fun one, we have a full night of entertainment called Wings of Flight. And the early part of the night is an all-ages show that kind of features C.S. Marks' Filk concert, magician Richard Cross, and hypnotist David Green. It's going to be a real cool, kind of diverse show. And then right after that, and this one has to be, of course, 18 and up. It's not over the top, so don't worry. It's not going to cause any scandals. But we have John Pikas coming in for the weekend as a guest. And so we have the Big Daddy Cool and his Bombshell Kittens and the Imaginarium Magic and Burlesque Cabaret. And so, yes, and I've seen the show. It is amazing. I mean, the ladies that are part of the show, they do a really, really neat performance kind of thing with their burlesque show, and it's really cool, and it's well done. And so we added that in to kind of be our big Friday night of entertainment, because we've already gotten a lot of people really into our Saturday night masquerade and cosplay and costume contest, which, by the way, this year will have $600 in cash prizes going to the top three finishers in that. And, Selah Janelle, part of the Seven Star Press family, heads up all that as far as the costume contest, and she's absolutely amazing as a costume designer herself, and knows her stuff in and out. And she's back for the third year, and so she's going to be there, and she's, of course, a co-host on the Star Chamber show. And so we've got some great folks with that. And then we've got gaming all weekend, and I'm really excited this year because folks from Nerd Louisville are involved. The long return of our wonderful friends, the Louisville Board Gamers, and D6 or Die are going to be there. Matthew McLeod, I have to thank him and give a shout out to him, really getting behind our gaming aspect. Film Festival has definitely grown. We've gotten a ton more submissions this year than we did in past film festivals. And so we've got a great screening approach. It's all digital this year. Of course, got to give a shout-out to the Colonel Eric Jude and Kylie Jude, who are film festival directors, for heading that up. We've got the Expo, which, again, is open to the general public for free. And a lot of people, some people came last year just to book buy, and they loved it. Some people left with sacks of books. And and you know, the chance to really browse. I mean, basically a book fair. I mean, is what it is. I mean, with so many exhibiting authors, and we do have a lot of other types of vendors that are going to be there this year, and so yeah, that's open to the general public for free, and. You know, it's got, I mean, like I said, as you hear this, I mean, you can see that it's got more than any one person can do by them. I mean, you almost have to plan out your weekend. And it's definitely that kind of event where you have to kind of pick and choose what you want to do because we have so much going on. But it's, you know, I mean, I think you can back me up that it's, yeah, that value-wise, it's ridiculous how much value you can get out of this thing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, it's. You know, from start to finish, there's so much going on, so much to do, so many panels, so many activities. It's just, you definitely get your money's worth, that's for sure.
Yeah, you do. And, and I'll have to recognize Carol Preflatish and Janie France, who are guests of ours at Imaginarium 2016, are also in the chat room. So give them a quick shout out. We do have a caller, and since it's just you and me tonight, we don't have a third-person call screening. We're going to take a wild chance here and bring them in and hope to God that this isn't too traumatic. You're on the air from 502 area code. Who is this?
Is this the bingo show? Is this bingo? Yeah, I'm trying to get – hey, guys, I kept hearing my name being used in vain, so – I thought I would call in and use Michael West's name in vain. I mean,
it's
gosh darn,
like,
guys.
Oh, my God.
It's like Candyman.
Eric Beebe calling in live on the Star Chamber show.
It is Eric Beebe. I want y'all to know I'm selling Postmortem Press for like a dollar. So you can have it for a dollar right now. Send a check, too. But, no, I think, I mean, the man's got a birthday. He's got a new book out. He's going to be signing at Imaginarium. Darn, Michael West, you're like burning it up.
I do what I can.
You do. Hey, what's going on, guys?
Oh, how
man,
you doing?
We're hanging in there. We're getting ready for this thing.
Well, I'm excited. I'm just really surprised that that you all gave Eric Beebe a microphone for a second year in a row at this event. So. And after the police the last time, I thought for sure I wouldn't even be invited back. So, you know.
Oh, man. Yeah, I hope he hears this show. I really do. Because, of course, the running joke is that Eric and Tony Acri, who this really is, they at some shows, they actually look like brothers if they both either grown a beard or they both have shaved. I mean, it's ridiculous how much they can blend
with
each other.
We were both up at Cincinnati Comic Expo, and I signed in the afternoon, and then Eric showed up, you know, an hour or two later, and the guy goes, no, dude, we've already signed you in. He goes, is Tony Acri here? And he goes, yes. He goes, that's him, not me. So that actually even happened up in Cincinnati. The guy thought he already, no, you already signed in, man. So, but no, this, I just want to also call it because Imaginarium, every year it gets better, and for example, up at the expo in Cincinnati, we handed out dozens of cards, and people were just so excited to find out there was such a, you know, a writers' conference here in the region. And we had several people fired up that are guaranteed to be coming down for Imaginarium. And, you know, I think every year, as you pointed out, as more and more people find it and they learn through, you know, the writers' networking, this just sky's the limit for Imaginarium.
And on that note, Tony, while you're online, I am going to give you the privilege of getting to hear some breaking news. This is something that Frank Hall and I attended to today, and Holly is with us, and Kim and Tammy. But we went to Louisville to anchor down, and we have signed on the dotted line. We have our dates and our home for Imaginarium 2017 and Imaginarium 2018. And the dates are going to be, we have our anchor. I mean, this year the dates are the 7th through the 9th. In 2017, the dates are from the 6th to the 8th. And from 2018, it's October 5 to 7. So each year you can pretty much, you know, pin this time of year in your calendar, and that's where we're going to be. When we made that commitment so that people can really plan, you know, on being back here each year.
Well, I think what I'm going to do is I just met a tattoo artist, so I think I'm going to get those dates tattooed on my arms. That way I won't forget, and I can make sure I put it in my schedule. Now, is it going to? I understand it's going to be a different venue. Is that possible?
It will be.
Is that,
we can say that. It's going to. We are going to move to the Ramada Plaza at their Triple Crown Pavilion. And
nice.
It's a great facility, extremely easy to navigate. We're going to have an even bigger vendor area next year, even bigger kind of area for the masquerade and stuff too as well. Panel rooms are a breeze to navigate, and great space room. We've got a great gaming room for next year. And the hotel itself, we're actually going to have this is cool for everybody. Everybody will love this. We're going to have even less expensive convention room rates. The convention rate this year was $99. Next year it's going to be $79. And
so
we drop $20 a night on that, and some other areas where we're going to be able to pass along the savings to our attendees. And so we'll still have a great banquet, everything. Everything you've come to love at Imaginarium, only better. Unfortunately, the problem was, I'll be honest, the problem was is that with the Downtown Convention Center in Louisville closing down for renovations, a lot of conventions pretty much booked up a lot of places, and unfortunately, we, we're left without any date options in our time zone for returning to the Crown, and they didn't have any dates for us at all. And I was like, no, sure. We don't want to move the convention from our time window. And so, we began a search out there, and it turned out the Ramada was extremely interested in our convention, and they really love the concept. They love how it's grown each year. They love where we're at right now with it, and they really want us. I mean, really, really prove that they wanted us. And it's going to be a place that hopefully we can build at for a long time to come. And I think, in talking to them, I think they have a lot of interest in what we're doing and want us to stay there. So it's nice to have a place that really wants you.
Well, Stephen, I've heard a rumor. I also hear there's going to be free bourbon. Is that right?
Well, I don't know if Eric has arranged that. Eric,
oh, okay. I just thought I'd ask, so,
Maybe if Eric starts a distillery, he can get free
bourbon. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys in a couple of weeks. And, not even a couple of weeks now, it's less than a week and a half. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. See, that's the other great thing about a convention like this, because you make so many friends. Like Michael Noss, who I met, last year and got to know better. We're trying to slide in a poker game at some point, it's bourbon, cigars, and poker, but it's just getting to see everybody is so much fun. And that's one of the things I try to stress to anybody who wants to attend. The panels are great. They're very informative, but the networking and the connections that you make and the new friends that you make, those just last and last and last. So, Tim Wagoner are going to be there. It's just, there's a lot of really fantastic people that come to this year after year. So,
yeah, it's an amazing group. And, from a lot of far distances too. We got a lot of people coming from all around the country this year. And a lot of new faces
too, which
can be fun. Yeah, Trinidad. And,
hi, gentlemen.
And, that's Lola Kyle, and she is absolutely fantastic. And she's actually a publisher too. So I mean, she adds to our growing group of publishers that are present at Imaginarium, and we've got at least six or seven publishers holding pitch sessions, which is cool. A lot of people.
Hydra Publications is doing one.
Yeah, Hydra's doing one. Yeah, absolutely. And but there's a lot of publishers represented in full there among the guests, and it's really a great. Great group with them. I'm really excited about a lot of the new faces too. A lot of new. You compare this year's guest list last year, you'll see a lot of new people will be on panels as well. So it's gonna be kind of cool to kind of see the new blood working in with the people that are returning. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Well, I just appreciate you all having us back at Hydra Publications, because again, it wouldn't be fall without Imaginarium. So, Michael, again, happy birthday. Congratulations on the release of the new book. And I'm looking forward to picking up a copy when I show up. And I'm going to get off here, gentlemen, and let some other people,
you know,
chime in. So thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Tony.
Well,
take care, man.
Thank you for calling in.
See you guys.
Oh, the great Tony Acree. Yeah, definitely one of the great characters of the indie book community and a great writer in his own right. Two uses of the word right there. we really love having Tony, and he's been with us since the beginning, and really excited and very excited about his bookstore, Karen's Book Barn, as well. So, like he said, you know, it's a networking environment, it's a learning environment, and there are definite friendships and connections that come out of it. And people that are, new to the convention world or are newer writers and stuff, I mean, it's a very welcoming environment too. I mean, you're really made to feel welcome, and that's something I'm very proud of. And I can see that, you know, and I hear that from many, many writers after they've experienced it. And that's another cool aspect about it, is kind of like the welcoming feel of it, if that
right.
makes sense.
No, absolutely.
From Friday through Sunday, I mean, it's going to be a blur because when I have to wear this kind of organizer hat, you know, it's going to be a little crazy until we hit the troll pub on Sunday night. It's kind of like the tradition once it's all wrapped up. But yeah, I look
right.
forward to that moment when we have the chicken and waffle sandwich and a bourbon on Sunday evening. That means we've made it. We're still alive. So it's always a good thing. But, I know you always joined us for those troll pub excursions in Louisville. So, yeah, hopefully we'll be able to totally take over the place like we did that first year at Imaginarium, where we filled the entire back room. that would be a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
Be seeing you in the vendor hall. We'll be seeing you on panels and such. And in terms of the content, you know, I mean, like I said, you know, try to tell, like, maybe people that haven't been to something like this, you know, what can they get out of panels? What are the advantages of attending panels?
Oh, well, if you're a reader, it's good to attend the panels, especially if there's, something that you're interested in finding out, you know, how the authors – you know, arrive at the finished product, how they go about crafting the characters that you love or the situations that you find so interesting. There's panels just on, you know, general genres. You know, I'm on a panel on the zombie apocalypse. So if you're into The Walking Dead or Zombieland or Dawn of the Dead or any of that, that's a good panel to attend. There's panels, if you're a writer especially, there's panels on the craft of writing to hopefully, you know, help you either become a better writer or to be able to better market what you've already written. So, like we were saying before, you know, these panelists, Tim Wagner, Brian Keene, Maurice Broaddus, you name it. There's going to be a ton of talent there, people who have been published in magazines and in comic books and, who have had movies made from their screenplays or adapted from their novels, people who have adapted movies and television shows to novels. It runs the whole gamut. So the information that you can get from these panels is invaluable, whether you're a writer or a reader.
We are getting near to the day that we will have that panel, a panel discussing the works of Michael West. Now that will be the legendary Imaginarium.
Oh, Lord.
I can't wait till that day comes.
I'll be at the back of the room in sunglasses and a trench coat.
No, you gotta wear your Shark Man outfit. I keep lobbying for that one.
My brother always has a Halloween party every year where you come. It's always themed. This year it's
characters from the 70s. So my wife and I are thinking of coming as Jaws. She's going to be the swimmer. I'm going to be the shark.
That's perfect. That's just about perfect. Oh, man. Good one. That's a good one. Oh, man. You two probably will win the cash at the contest if you come like that on Saturday night.
We'll see.
You tipped off your cotton out. Now all the cosplayers are going to be like, oh, I've got to come up with something really good now.
Yeah, now we've got to come up with something really good. It'll be interesting to see how many, Godfathers and John Travolta from Grease and Saturday Night Fever will show up.
Right.
Well, you'd be proud of me. I just scored a near-mint vinyl copy of the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack on a trip to Half Price Books recently with Holly. So
nice.
I'll be able to fit in at least.
I remember that the Grease soundtrack and the story of Star Wars albums got so worn out when I was growing up. We had to buy those things like two or three times because they got all scratched up. We would just listen to them constantly.
That was me with Kiss's Love Gun and the Ace Frehley solo record. Those are the two I wore down completely.
Yeah.
Thank God for buying the reissues. So I got good copies. But I will never part with my originals because that's my childhood. So.
Those
will always be my favorite, but oh man, did they get worn down.
Oh yeah, I still have all my old vinyl, so.
It's good. It's a good age to be collecting vinyl because it's definitely in the back in the forefront again. So, that's what we need.
You know,
that's what we need in Imaginarium is a good vinyl dealer so Steven can go broke in Imaginarium.
There you go. Well, you know, they say everything old is new again, so you just have to wait around long enough and. It comes back in style.
So please, if there's a vinyl vendor out there, please get a table in Imaginarium. I will patronize you.
You'll make your
table fee back just from me alone. You absolutely will. Oh, man. That would be fun. But yeah, we do have some really cool vendors coming in with collectibles and a great T-shirt vendor this year and some others, you know,
make me go broke.
Yeah, I know you blow a lot at these conventions with memorabilia, so I've watched it.
Yeah.
When you and your entourage are in attendance, so.
Yeah, well, my wife's going to be with me this time, so it'll be interesting. But
that's gonna be awesome. I think she's gonna have a blast.
Well,
so I think she really will.
Yeah, I think she will too. It's funny because she's gonna be watching my table while I'm moderating and attending some panels. But I told her, I said, hey, you know, the vendor room closes. You can come to my 8 o'clock panel on Friday night. And she's like, what is that? I said, erotic literature.
Nice.
So that'll be interesting.
Oh, that's good. I'm definitely going to check in with her on our thoughts on that. I can't wait to hear her commentary on that one.
Oh, yes. Oh, that'll be fun. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. Like I said, these panel discussions, people have not been to panels. I mean, the discussions can be absolutely a blast. I mean, because the audience typically will engage the panelists and many of them can be, you know, very, very fun. I mean, very, a lot of insight.
It's very interactive because, you know, you start off and of course the panelists start off and the moderator kind of directs things a certain way, but every panel is its own kind of microcosm that, you know, it has a life of its own. And then when you turn it loose and invite the, an audience to ask questions or, you know, make comments or whatnot, then it just, you know, it's like adding fuel to the fire and it just becomes something else entirely. So it's always fun.
Yeah. And that's what I say. I mean, when you add it up, I mean, you look at over 100 panels and, you know, or 20, 25 workshops. I mean, the value that you get at Imaginarium is insane. I mean, if you come and and participate in the full 3 days. I mean, it is absolutely, I mean, any one of many of those workshops is worth more than the actual registration fee. And you pay more if you actually attended a single workshop in some cases. And, you know, we do have day passes. So people can only make Saturday or can only make Sunday or Friday, or a gamer that might only want to come for a full day and evening of gaming, like, can, you know, maybe they're only available on Saturday. We do have day passes, so I want to make that very clear. But the full weekend price of $65 registration, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, what kind of value you can get out of it if you participate in, you know, like I said, the programming and all that. I mean, it's definitely
yeah,
worth it.
Yeah, because I go to a lot of cons, and there are a lot of cons that, I mean, they do have some panels and some Q&As and whatnot, but, I mean, you're paying, you know, $75 to $100, $150 for the weekend. And, you know, there are some cons where that just gets you in the door, you know, and that, you know, and,
right.
with Imaginarium, you have the panels, you have the authors right there where you can interact with them, you know, right there at all their tables where, you know, you can actually meet the people who create the characters that you love and hear them talk about it. And it's just, you know, you really can't beat it.
And the workshops and things like that. The other thing I think is cool about Imaginarium is that you have genre-specific events where you have, okay, well, you have the horror convention, you have the sci-fi convention, you have the mystery conference, the romance conference. The cool thing about Imaginarium is it does bring in all of them, and it's so neat to watch the different writers who are basically anchored in different genres and how they interact with each other and how they help give each other, you know, maybe a fresh perspective coming from their, you know, areas of expertise. It's kind of cool to watch the romance writer with the fantasy author, or it's cool to watch the mystery author with the steampunk author. It's really cool to watch that dynamic, which I think is very unique about Imaginarium.
Absolutely.
I mean,
I mean, look at the panel I was just talking about, the erotic literature. I mean, you've got me, who's a horror writer, dark fantasy writer, who, you know, as we alluded to earlier, more than a few people have noted that they think that I should write erotica.
Oh, yes. I know that Jessica Lay, if she's listening in Australia, is one of those people that's voting for that.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, all those naughty illustrations are for Jessica.
Yeah, she's awesome, and we got to get her on the show sometime to say hi.
She messaged me before the show and wished me luck, but she had wanted to call in, but it wasn't going to happen because it's in Australia. It's like 11 a.m. Thursday there.
Oh yeah. Well, you tell her we gave her a shout out because we absolutely think the world of Jessica. And
I feel bad
because God, I haven't caught up with her in a while. And my world, it's just nonstop insane. But I mean, hopefully I'll get to catch up with her at some point. But she's one of my favorite people in the book world, and I definitely know that she definitely is one of those that is encouraging you to write more erotica.
Yeah, she's definitely
Sunstar Press's first erotica release by Michael West. That's what
she and Chris Morton and Cabin Goddess, if you're familiar with her reviews, but she brought up something in her review that really, you know, made me happy, was that she noted that it was the first time that she could remember when a love scene, an erotic scene, actually was integral to the plot. So I try not to have throwaway scenes where it's like, oh, you know, it's been 50 pages.
Right.
I guess they got to strip off the clothes.
Right. That's high praise, too, because she is one sharp lady. I mean, she really knows her stuff.
She is,
really is very well read across different genres. And I've always thought, she has definitely just amazing insight when it comes to books. So that's not small praise.
Well, and to me, it's like there's no use. I mean, it's like an action scene. It's like, a sex scene and an action scene kind of go hand in hand in that you only have them if they move the plot forward, if they're important.
Right.
If they're not important, then there's no reason to just throw them in there. I mean, number one, if you're doing something just because you feel like you have to, it's not going to be any good.
Right.
And number two, the readers are gonna know. It's like, this. Why are they doing this?
Right.
A good example of that is my novel Spook House. Spook House is probably the only book I've done that didn't have a love scene in it, and there was supposed to be one in there, but as the book went along, the two characters that were going to have the love scene, it wasn't organic. It would have been forced if it happened, and so it didn't happen. Not that those characters won't get together in the future, for those Harmony fans out there, but it's to me it's all about the characters and all about
right.
what feels real and organic and is true to the story, and you can always tell when someone does something because it's a convention of the genre or they feel like they have to, as opposed to something that just happens organically because of the story.
So with Michael West, you get organic, certified, non-GMO erotica. That's right. There you go. That got you. You need to get a glass of bourbon now.
Well,
I Holly probably just spit up her drink after she heard my comment there.
my favorite fall concoction has become a hot apple cider with Fireball whiskey.
I'll get Tony Acri in a second when you mention Fireball whiskey. So.
Oh yeah, well, because Fireball whiskey is like a cinnamon, like a Fireball. And so you add that in with the apple cider, and it's just a very warm, cinnamony goodness.
That Imaginarium, if you want to make Tony Acri happy, bring him Fireball whiskey. He will absolutely appreciate you.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Who wouldn't appreciate you?
Feel free to bring me Jim Beam products. I'm okay with that. I will definitely appreciate it. But it says Kentucky, by the way. So yeah, absolutely. Imaginarium is a Kentucky event. So yeah, bourbon is welcome. We got about a minute left. So I guess we better tell people how to find us.
All right. You can find my stuff if you go to www.buybymichaelwest.com. And there are links there to all the books. And if you go to the pages for each individual book, there are links to every venue imaginable where you can buy them, everything from my publisher, Seven Star Press, to Amazon, to Barnes & Noble, to Walmart. So a wide range there of venues where you can purchase the books from, either in e-formats or hard copies. Then you can find me on Facebook at Facebook.com/ByMichaelWest and Twitter @ByMichaelWest.
And Imaginarium is entertheimaginarium.com and ImaginariumCon on Twitter, and on Facebook it's Imaginarium Convention. So www.entertheimaginarium.com is where you can find us online there. And with that, we end the show. And thank you very much, Michael. It's been an awesome show, and definitely looking forward to seeing the Imaginarium in just a little over a week.
Well, thanks for having me, and I can't wait.
You got it, man. Good night, everybody, and thank you for tuning in.
Good night, everybody.
And in 2 weeks, you will have the return of Alexander S. Brown and Selah Janelle in the first show after Imaginarium. So hopefully they can give you some
if they survive.
If they survive. Take care, everyone, and good night.
Night.